It's finally here. Stop into Menards for amazing Black Friday deals. A 54-inch giant snow tube is only $9.99 each. Ladies' slippers are just $6.99 a pair. And a men's heated jacket is $49.99. Ah, there's so many great Black Friday deals. I can't list them all. You'll have to hurry to Menards while supplies last to get these and many more Black Friday deals. Sale good Black Friday through December 1st. See Menards.com for details.
Save big money at
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I think travel can honestly happen for everyone. It doesn't always need to be luxury. I think half the time it is just about the experiences that you're having.
Hello, and welcome to Planicious Podcast Future Rich. I am your host, Barbara Ginty, and I am also a CFP, which is a certified financial planner. And I am very excited to bring to you today my guest, Elizabeth Kaska. Hi.
Hi, Barbara. So happy to be here with you today.
Yeah, thank you for joining us. So we were introduced by a mutual friend, and you helped me plan the exotic portion of my honeymoon, and then most recently helped my husband and I plan a little trip to Morocco, which I would highly recommend. And so I had no idea until our mutual friend connected us that travel agents are back. I feel like I saw them on TV and in movies, like, you know, in the 70s, like people had travel agencies, and it is having a whole resurgence, this industry, correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, no, totally. We are back. That is for sure. I think honestly what happened was that travel actually became more overwhelming the more booking platforms that came onto the internet. And essentially people were flooded with too many options. And so anytime you would kind of go to the computer to think about planning a trip, you were suddenly overwhelmed with 45 tabs open, TripAdvisor, Booking, Hotels.com, trying to find the best rate at the best hotel and which location should I be at, where kind of travel agents have kind of re-entered into the landscape because we're able to narrow those options down for you on something that fits your budget and your aesthetic. And so I actually joined a travel agency called Fora. We are what is now being dubbed as the modern travel agency. So we are hip, young, we are travelers. We are not your grandmother's travel agent that is like flipping through a book or a brochure to sell you a tour. We're essentially people that are just like you and travel just like you. So we're able to kind of guide you in the best direction to get the most value out of a trip.
Yeah, it's really exciting. It's made a comeback because I will admit that previously before I got married, I'd always traveled with my girlfriends, and everyone is super type A. So I was just assigned like a task. Usually my task was like really minimal, and everybody else had opinions about where we were going to go, what we were going to stay. And there is usually massive spreadsheets along with all of my vacations with my girlfriends, which I've always just really appreciated. And then for my honeymoon with my husband was like, never left the country. And so it was all up to me, which was overwhelming because I've actually never had to plan a trip. I've never planned a trip by myself. And he didn't really have the skill set. You know, he had an idea of where he wanted to go, but he had a passport, thankfully, but didn't have the skill set, I think, to plan it as much as my girlfriends, who are all very well traveled. And I kind of just go on their coattails, really. So I found it to be very helpful, and you helped us plan, you know, kind of the luxury part of our trip, which I think, you know, we'll talk about it. It can be for various budgets. And if you're not quite there yet financially, it's definitely, I think, worth something to plan for or to save for or to work towards if you're not quite in that arena yet of being able to take vacations. So do you want to talk me through how you came to find the travel agent, the comeback?
Yeah. So honestly, it started off a little bit kind of like a side gig. I have been working in medicine for the better part of 20 years. Formal education background is a nurse practitioner. So I work at a large teaching hospital here in New York City. And as one can imagine, when the pandemic hit, a lot of us got burnt out, just working tons of hours, nights, weekends, holidays, watching the hospital flip from top to bottom with COVID patients, and then kind of watching the entire world shut down, and everyone working from home. There was like a little bit of, honestly, like resentment that I had that like, well, why do I
was going to say everyone else. A lot of people got time off or like were like in their sweatpants and you were going into basically a war zone every day.
So my life didn't change at all during the pandemic. If anything, it just work got busier. And I love that part of myself and that job. But I always knew that I probably only had 20 years or so of myself to give to medicine, since it is long hours, it's on your feet. It's a very high stress environment. And the way that I've always kind of detached myself from medicine is travel. So like travel is my passion aside from medicine. And any time that I would have a stretch off, even if it was 4 or 5 days, me and my husband would be taking some sort of vacation somewhere around the world, whether it was even just flying to the Maldives for 5 days, which most people wouldn't do. And so
far,
the travel agent side of it kind of popped in after thinking of like, what else am I good at? Or what do I even have like any sort of education in? Because I never thought of wanting to go back to school or getting a new degree or anything like that. And I was like, well, there's two things I know. It's medicine and it's travel. And then I found the agency that I'm working at, which essentially empowered people to pick this up as a career, whether you want to take it full time or just do it on the side. It's kind of like you can work as much as you want to. And I always knew that eventually I wanted an exit from medicine. So maybe I'll start dabbling in this now. And as I build my business over the course of a few years, if it becomes lucrative enough, I can start kind of stepping back from medicine and taking this on more full time. I mean, I've actually been really lucky because it has turned more lucrative quicker than I actually thought it would have. So I actually,
that's rare.
Very rare. I have all of my amazing clients to thank. I have a very big like referral program where I essentially don't even need to market myself. I usually just get people who are reaching out to me because I booked their friend's trips or their mom's trip or someone else's honeymoon, or I did a wedding room block for someone who had a good experience. And so I went part-time in medicine about 18 months ago. So I still do work 2 days a week in the hospital.
That's amazing.
And the rest of the days I book travel. So
I love that you kind of legged into it instead of just saying, I think that a lot of people expect the side hustle to, you know, work out faster. And I think it's great if it does, but I think it's smart, you know, that you kind of started it as a side hustle. And I would imagine how are the hours in travel? Because it feels like it would be 24/7, right? If you have people traveling all over the world.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, that's the irony in it all, because when I wanted to step back from medicine, part of my complaint was I was sick of working nights and weekends and holidays. And then this Labor Day weekend, I found myself on Sunday night at 11 p.m. like on the computer booking something for someone or like rerouting someone. And I was like, well, here I am, full circle. I was like, I have stepped back from medicine and here I am working a night on a weekend of a holiday. But it's something I'm so passionate about, and I do it kind of in my free time too. Like, some things are urgent that need to be tended to right away. But for the most part, things can be handled on a relatively flexible schedule for me. Obviously, I can't respond to things while I'm sleeping, but I'm already usually up pretty early. So from like hours of 5 to 10 a.m. is perfect time to be in contact with anyone that's in Europe, which a lot of my clients are traveling in. So that works fine because I can wake up in the morning, I can do a bunch of work, and I can go to the gym at 9 a.m. And come back. And then I usually have responses from everybody by the time I get home. It's very rare that there's an actual emergency.
Yeah, does that...
Go ahead.
Does that maybe, even though you're still working a lot of hours and not like, doesn't turn off at a certain time, does it feel more manageable because it's at your convenience versus like with the medicine... the hospital job, it's like you have to be there, right? Physically go there in scrubs, exactly. I'll presume. Versus this is like, I can do it in my pajamas. I can, you know, I'm going to go to the gym and then I'll respond. So does it feel maybe less intense because it's at your convenience more so.
Exactly. I have so much more control over my schedule. And even though running your own business, which I'm sure you know, is a lot of hard work because no one's picking up where you leave off. Whereas when you go to a job that you clock in and you clock out, it's great. It's like, I'm here, I did my shift, I'm going home, and now it's off. Running your own business, there's always something to be done, but I can find time to do those things when I'm in those focus points that like make sense for me. So even if it's, you know, responding to things or getting something done 30 minutes while dinner's cooking, or just taking a quick peek at my email before I go to bed and knowing like what I need to do to schedule for the next day, it just having that sense of control over your schedule is, you know, what one of the biggest benefits I think of it is. There is definitely some work-life balance that needs to happen though.
Well, because I was going to bring up two things. One, if I believe you're married, right? So like how has your spouse been with it? Because I think that's a big change to owning your own business. I think it's a lifestyle for you, but also for your partner, right? Because that means that like you might be like, oh, before we have dinner, I'm just going to do a little bit more work, or like after dinner, I just have to do a few more email, right? And like it can kind of impede if you're not used to that. It's a different lifestyle owning a business than going to work somewhere is my personal take.
Yes, I am married and my husband obviously knew me prior to me starting this business. So it's definitely been an adjustment. He's been so supportive. I mean, in the beginning when it was just going to be a side gig, like, and it was all fun and games, like I was only doing it a couple times a week. So it wasn't really all consuming, but once like the business started to ramp up a lot and I had a lot of clients, especially when clients are all traveling at the same time, there are times that I need to do things, especially if I go to my job in medicine, when I come home, there may be things that I need to tend to before I'm like able to help participate in making dinner or whatever. And so it definitely has been an adjustment, and I'm trying to get better at that and just kind of communicating like, hey, like I'm happy to be home. Like let's have dinner at 7. I have like an hour of stuff I need to do and take care of, and just kind of at least like letting him know and having open communication if there's things that are on my plate that like need to get done. And I've also gotten better at realizing to myself that like, not everything's an emergency and I don't need to respond to this email tonight. Like this can wait until normal business hours. And so kind of setting those boundaries even with myself has been like super helpful.
Yeah. That is the hard part about a business, right? Is being like, I feel like to get the business going, you have to be super responsive and it's like a hustle in the beginning. And then at some point you have to be like, okay, I have to like have some semblance of normalcy. Like I can defer that till tomorrow. And so how has it been? So now you went part-time in medicine. And so would you be comfortable sharing some of the finances? Or like, how does it work as a travel agent?
Yeah,
so if someone's interested in pursuing this.
Yeah, there's like a few different ways to make money. For the most part, we make money on commission. So anytime you are staying at a hotel, there's a certain portion of your hotel stay that actually already has commission baked in for a travel agent. That's just kind of how the hotelier world had started out. And so anytime I have a client stay, we get a small kickback from the hotel as part of the commission structure. I do split that with my agency.
It's like real estate kind of.
It's exactly like real estate. Yeah. So every agency is different what their split is. Ours currently is 75% comes to the agent, 25% of that actually goes to the agency. And there is a small fee that is involved in paying your host agency in order to have access to all their preferred partnerships and their platforms and all of their education materials. But I also charge planning fees for anyone that's doing more extensive trips. So my pay comes kind of 50-50 from both, depending on the kind of trip I'm planning for someone. For someone who might be taking a short trip, perfect example, you going to Morocco, really just needing hotels and maybe like transportation, I don't need to put in a planning fee on that because it doesn't take me a significant amount of time to put that together. But someone who might be doing 14 days over Europe, going to 3 different cities that needs transportation, as well as all their experiences, there's no commission that's actually included in booking experiences, tours, transfers. And so I do charge a planning fee in order to pull that all together. So I get a little bit of money from both ways.
And does the agency take a fee on everything, like kind of like in our business, our broker dealer in real estate, they take a fee. It doesn't matter how you get paid, they take a cut regardless.
Yeah.
And the benefit of partnering with the agency, I would presume, is they have access or better deals or material, right? So they're giving you kind of the feel of a bigger company while, right, exactly, without you having to be an employee of a bigger company.
Exactly. So I'm technically an independent contractor, but by working with them, they're my host agency. I have access to all their preferred partnerships, where they have essentially, you know, made relationships with hotels all around the world. And we are a part of certain consortias, which are essentially like luxury travel programs, things like Virtuoso. It's very similar to like Fine Hotels and Resorts, where essentially as us being a part of those programs, we're able to offer our clients certain benefits. So whether it's early check-in, late check-out, breakfast, resort credits, all hotels are different, but a lot of hotels in the world are part of a consortia. So there's things like small luxury hotels of the world, tablets, hotels, there's Mr. and Mrs. Smith, there's Belmont Bellini Club, like there's just, you name the hotel, it exists. With my access to Fora, I have access to all of those different programs that then brings more value to my clients while they're traveling.
Yeah, they get different perks. Okay, that makes total sense. And then to give us perspective, what is like, what's the average salary, or not salary, business owner take? Because then you also then have your own business expenses, which I would imagine your overhead is fairly low, but I would imagine you still have your own expenses as a business owner.
Yeah, I have some expenses, not as much as people that have like actual brick and mortar shops. Most of the things I have are just subscriptions online, or whether it's a, you know, I pay for a platform that helps me build itineraries into like these aesthetically pleasing like application that then you could also
have
on your mobile to bring on your, like that's something I pay for.
Yeah.
Most individuals that are a part of an agency have their host fee. So it's like a yearly fee. And then small things that might be like your CRM or your anything to like, organize all of your clients that you might pay into, or an email subscription service. So I use a specific one that is I'm able to then format my emails to look the same way. So it's all like online things that are quite honestly not super expensive when you look at the overall cost of what it is to kind of kickstart a business. And so I still, you know, bring home a significant portion each year. And I guess one of the perks is that I also can write some of that off in my taxes.
Taking care of your health isn't always easy, but it should at least be simple. That's why for the last 3 years, I've been drinking AG1 every day with no exceptions. It's just one scoop mixed in water once a day, every day, and it makes me feel ready to take on my day. That's because each serving of AG1 delivers my daily dose of vitamins, minerals, pre and probiotics, and more. It's a powerful, healthy habit that's also powerfully simple. With AG1, I know I'm getting essential brain, gut, and immune health support with vitamins, probiotics, and nutrients from Whole Foods. I like to think of it as my nutritional insurance. I know I'm covering my nutritional bases from the very start of the day. If there's one product I had to recommend to elevate your health, it's AG1, and that's why I've partnered with them for so long. So if you want to take ownership of your health, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1 year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase exclusively at drinkag1.com/future-rich. That's drinkag1.com/future-rich. Check it out. Yes. Okay. So first, I'm like, what do you think an average income would be for a travel agent? And then I want to talk about a little bit about the perks, because I do think that if someone's interested in starting this as a business, what you said, it seems really reasonable. A lot of businesses, if you have to have brick and mortar or employees, or like, for instance, us with the licensing is expensive. The materials are $1,000. The exams are expensive. The annual, right? There's all these other fees that you're paying. And so it seems like it has really reasonable overhead and you can kind of do it from anywhere. So what does like an average, do they talk about that when you go to the, you know, meetings or within your group, like what's the average make of a travel agent and like what's a goal?
So I think it obviously depends on where you live. I live in New York City. So in order to actually have a livable salary, it's honestly, it's quite hard. The hustle's real. which is part of why I still do hang on to my other job. They say it takes anywhere between 3 to 5 years to build a big enough book of business that you can actually support yourself off of it. To give you an example of if you wanted to take home a salary of about $100,000, you would need to be booking $1 million or more of travel a year. So
a million. So that would be very busy, I would think.
So it's very busy. And most people, when they get to the point, if you are booking $1 million of travel a year, you're usually at the point that you probably need to hire help.
It would just be really.
Exactly.
Do 100,000. Yeah.
It's a lot of big trips.
Big trips. Yeah. So do you think like the target, if someone was interested in this, is like, this is a great side hustle to supplement or to get you out of like what you're doing, where you're like still going to stay in medicine, but it gives you the flexibility to do something you're really passionate about?
Yeah. I have colleagues that are now in this industry that are doing it in both ways. There's some people that still have their full-time job and they are doing this as a side hustle. They're obviously not bringing home as much money as people who are either focusing on this at least part-time or full-time, but there are people that have taken the plunge and they, you know, decided, you know, I know it's going to take a couple of years for me to get to where I want to be, but I want to like put all my time and effort into like learning how to do this well, traveling so I know places better, getting all the education that I can, whether it's through suppliers that are educating us or our agency has like education programs that are happening multiple times a week. Those people are obviously able to scale their business a little bit quicker than someone who is doing it as a side hustle. People do it in both ways. I think the way I started was perfect for me just based on kind of where my financial situation was at the time. Like I didn't need to fully replace my salary when I went part-time, but I wanted something that at least had better value for me at home. I wanted better work-life balance. I wanted to be able to step away from the hospital. My husband and I are planning to have a family, so we would like, you know, to be around more. And this was like, it was worth it to take a little bit of a pay cut in order for me to have the flexibility to be around more.
Yeah, to have more control over your schedule. So it seems like there's also probably great perks. So I would imagine then any of your travel is a business write-off from a tax standpoint because it would be work-related. And then do you get to travel for free? Like, do you get free hotels and to test out the luxury stays?
I have in the past. It's not the norm. Me and my husband, we travel a lot. We've been to 52 countries. Most of those are fully paid for. Wow. Because we like extravagant places. And the more expensive places you go, the less likely they are to need to promote themselves to you. Are sold out all the time anyways. I certainly get access to all of the perks that my clients would get access to. So that's more value in any hotel that we go to, whether we're getting resort credits. I also get the commission off of it. So it's a reduced stay. And there are some hotels that provide travel agent rates. So they're discounted rates so that we can come and familiarize ourselves with the properties. So we do take advantage of that when we get the chance to, but it certainly is not every trip that we do.
So then maybe the tax benefit of like not being able to expense it and say, I'm doing research for the business is probably a big one, especially in New York City.
Yes. We are always researching. There's a lot of other perks of the job that are a lot of fun. Suppliers actually fly in from all around the world and they come in and meet with us. So being in a big city like New York City, people here all the time from all different countries at all different hotels that take us out for lunch so that they can explain to us, you know, their hotels, or we'll go do a fun experience with them, whether it's like putting flowers together, whatever it is, like some sort of environment that we are able to meet with the general managers of hotels or their sales teams to like form these relationships so that when I do send my clients to these hotels, I can say, hey, Barbara's on her way to your hotel. We met 3 weeks ago in New York City when we had lunch. Like, she's my great client. Her and her husband are very active. They like to do this, that, and other. And that way the hotels then have a little bit of background about my clients. And so just in those ways, like there are other non-financial perks that come along kind of with the job that are a lot of fun.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like if you were looking for a side hustle or a career transition, depending on where you are with your life, it seems like a great avenue to pursue if you're really into travel.
Yeah, it's definitely for people who have already been planning all of their own trips and who are well-traveled, or It's obviously easiest to sell something that you're passionate about. So if you already have the passion for it, that's half the battle. I certainly light up every time I talk about travel. And so it's easy for me to sell it because I truly actually feel it. I think that there are some amazing experiences in the world, and nothing excites me more than like watching other people actually go on them. And so it's not a hard sell at all.
And so for our listeners, now that if they didn't know about travel agents or didn't know this was an industry that is having such a big resurgence, because I think when I think of travel agents before meeting you, I kind of thought of the show The Americans, where they had the front for the travel agency, or like my dad using a travel agent for another one of his cruises, which it's like he just does cruises. Very baby boomer of him. So for our listeners, I think we've kind of talked a little bit, but the benefits of working with a travel agent would be that you can organize it, like kind of like for me, like I didn't know where I wanted to stay or what to do or what was a good hotel. I'd never gone on a safari. And so you bring that expertise, and then you can also take care of everything front to back in terms of, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So that essentially you can arrive to your destination stress-free, and you also know that you have someone that has your back. So if you do arrive somewhere and it's not as expected, you don't need to be the one to bring all the issues up and get them fixed. You can quickly send me an email and say, hey, we just checked in. Our room has no view. I thought we booked an ocean view. Whatever it is, you have someone else that's there to vouch for you and fix everything, which is really nice.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And what is your tip for people who are in varying budgets, like depending on where they are in their financial journey?
I think travel can honestly happen for everyone. It doesn't always need to be luxury. I think half the time it is just about the experiences that you're having. But I think traveling in the off season is, my biggest tip for people in order to get more bang for your buck. So traveling in shoulder season, you can still get the same experiences, usually nearly the same weather that you were going to get if you went in high season, and you're probably going to spend 50% of the price.
Oh, wow. That's a big difference.
Yeah. And for cases like safaris, the animals do not know if it's September or October, but the hotel in October, you can afford a lot more if you try to go to some of these hotter destinations in shoulder or off season.
That makes sense. It's just not the demand that there would be otherwise. So I have a couple of questions, and hopefully this will help our listeners. What are your thoughts on travel insurance?
So I am supposed to always be suggesting it. I am a huge proponent of having some sort of insurance, and a lot of that you can actually get with a really good credit card. So if people don't already have a good travel credit card, if you're going to be taking a big trip, I think it's worth the investment, even if there is a yearly fee on a credit card, to have the assurance that your credit card will cover you if something happens. Most people...
Do you have a favorite?
I do have a favorite. I have several. I have probably far too many in my wallet. But I think a great one for starting out is definitely the Chase Sapphire Reserve. Not only for the accrual of points on that card, but also they have amazing travel insurance as well as car rental insurance, so that you don't have to buy any supplemental insurance if you're traveling and renting a car. And then that one gets 3x points on all travel. So anytime you book anything, even if you are taking an Uber in your hometown and you're putting it on a Chase Sapphire Reserve, you're going to get 3x points. And over time, that if you use those and you spend on the card and pay it off every month, you're going to accrue enough points to eventually be able to redeem for travel. And the best way to use that is usually by transferring it to an airline partner in order to redeem for a free flight.
So I was going to say, so one of the tricks, right, is to not purchase your flight on Chase's website, but to transfer your miles out of their program to the intended airline.
Exactly. Yeah. Most airline programs have things that are called fixed award space, where you're actually just going to pay a certain amount for the distance you're flying. It doesn't matter what the cash value of the fare is. Whereas if you're booking on Chase's portal, you're always going to pay a percentage of the cash fare.
Oh, okay. So you always want to transfer it out. So Chase Sapphire Reserve is one of your favorites. And because it has the car rental insurance component.
Yeah. For people that like luxury travel, I also suggest the Amex Platinum card. Okay. You get 5x points on all flights, which is amazing. And then you also get a $200 hotel credit every year. That one is best for people that
How do you use that? I have the Amex Platinum for work. Like, how do you use the credit? It sounds like the dumbest question, I'm sure. But
how do you use
I know you have the credit. Yeah, how do you use it?
So the truth is you have to book something under the Fine Hotels and Resorts program. So it has to be a hotel that is under that program. It won't knock it off of any hotel that you book. So it's perfect for like a 3-day weekend when you're looking and you're like, okay, the hotel is $400 a night and I get a $200 credit. Mm-hmm. Like you just split your hotel costs in half.
Okay.
Is the way to actually use that one. For the Chase card, it's actually you get $300 redemption in any travel. So it doesn't matter where you book or how you book it. You automatically are going to get $300 back, after you book your first $300 in travel.
Amazing. So do you think that for somebody who maybe is on the lower end of their budget and travel is a little aspirational or trickier, would you recommend trying to use the credit cards to accrue the points to try to get some of the hotels covered or the flights covered with the regular spending?
Yeah. So as you know, you probably speak through it a lot better than I can. You don't want to be spending on things that are your already everyday spend. And that's where credit cards, if you look at the kind of the different ones that are available to you, there are ones that are like best to use for groceries. So if you're like, mm-hmm. I spend the most of my budget every month on groceries, then the Amex Gold would be best for you because that gets 4x points every time you buy your groceries. There's also the Capital One Venture X that you get 2x points for everything. So that's like if you're going to go get your haircut, 2x points. And if you are just get good at knowing which credit card to use in which venues, eventually those will add up into a significant amount that you will then be able to redeem for travel.
Use it. That makes sense. Yeah, I'm actually not that good at the credit cards. I have them, but to be honest, my girlfriends are always like, did you sign up for Priority Pass? And I'm like, no, yeah. I didn't sign up for Priority Pass.
It's a lot to learn, but I'm always happy to help anyone who ever wants to talk about which card to use where. I will let you know.
Okay, amazing. Okay, so credit cards have the built-in insurance. And then what's your take on, I'll let you know, you could buy your own independent travel policy, which I bought when we did our honeymoon last year, because with the safari, you know, in case you get eaten by a lion, you have to show them you have travel insurance.
Yes.
So I did the math on it, and the trip insurance was almost the same cost as an annual fee, you know, an annual cost. So I just did the annual, mm-hmm. Which worked out really nicely because we recently canceled a family vacation. And I really thought they were going to give me a hard time because we canceled because my sister has a high-risk pregnancy. And I was like, there's no way they're going to give me my money back on the flights because, like, it's my sister. And they did. I submitted the doctor's note, explained we canceled because of the high-risk pregnancy. And they said they're going to – I have not received the money, but they said they're going to send me the money, which is basically the whole year's worth of premiums.
Yeah. I mean, travel insurance, I think, is a must, like I said, whether you're doing it through a credit card or buying a supplemental plan. I've had several trips actually in the past year that clients have had to use and they've gotten all their money back. I mean, granted, they paid for the insurance policy, but I had two trips to Italy that were 14-day trips of high value, that one had a death in the family and one got COVID, and so couldn't travel. And thankfully, because they had travel insurance, they were able to both get like their entire trip reimbursed to them. And then we got them booked on another trip a couple months later. I've also personally needed to use travel insurance. You always think that you're invisible, it's not going to happen to you. But my husband was in Israel and split open his eyebrow when he ran into a door and needed stitches. So when you're in another country, a lot of times when you show up to the hospital, they actually make you pay in cash up front. So we had to pay up front with cash, but luckily our insurance covered the entire hospital bill. And then just for me, back in January, I re-tore my ACL, which I thought would never happen, while I was in Cambodia. And luckily for me, I did not.
You tore your ACL in Cambodia?
Swimming in a luxury resort pool. I kid you not.
Oh no.
Yes. And so for most people, if that would have happened, they probably would have immediately ended the trip and flown home. This was my fourth ACL tear. So I knew actually there was nothing I could really do about it until the swelling went down. So we actually ended up continuing through the trip. But since we did have the protection of travel insurance, like we at least had the assurance of knowing, like if I was in a lot of pain or like I just didn't want to continue to go on, like we could easily just rebook our flights and then get reimbursed for the rest of the trip that wasn't able to happen. I stuck it out though.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I think that like, yeah, you expect nothing to happen, but you know, since I got married, we're doing some longer, more extensive travel, and with having two people versus before I was a single person and I'm covering both hotel, you know, I'm covering the full hotel. I'm covering both flights because my husband, I pay for travel because he's at a different income threshold. And so to me, it's like more financial risk to be covering the full vacation versus 1/4 or 1/5, like when I travel with my girlfriends.
Yeah.
And I just never really expected the travel insurance to pay, because I feel like often you check that box of like, yes, I'll insure the trip on like Delta's webpage or somewhere. And then if you've ever gone to try to file with them, it's like, I don't know if anyone succeeded in filing with that like $10 add-on travel insurance. But owning the own policy has been, I mean, we've already gotten her money's worth out of it in the 1 year.
Yeah. Yeah. You definitely find the benefits then. And unfortunately, we are not invisible. So you never know what's going to happen and what country you might be in.
Yeah, that's the other part. I think when you're younger, or at least I never really thought about what happened, you know, when I went to another country when I was younger. But now it's like, yeah, what happens if someone gets hurt? Or because then you're paying out of pocket for any sort of medical expense if you're abroad.
Yeah. And I wouldn't say that you and your husband are doing travel that is low risk.
No, that's true. He's definitely a high risk person.
You're skiing, rock climbing, what do you call free solo?
I don't do that, but yes, deep water soloing, which is definitely high risk. So I definitely needed it for sure on him. I'm definitely a lower risk candidate. They don't ask that many questions when you take out the travel insurance to deem you high risk or low risk versus like life insurance. So I thought that was also interesting. But what are maybe some other tips? So traveling in the shoulder season, the credit card insurance, any other? I've also always heard that you should book flights on Mondays or Tuesdays. I don't know if that's like a
myth. I know they do say like the flight changes on Tuesdays. I think one of the things I have noticed is searching on an incognito window on Google Flights does sometimes bring a lower airfare down, because it has cookies and it essentially like tracks that you've been looking at flights. Some people say that's a myth. I have had both windows up before though and found cheaper flights on an incognito tab. But I also think,
interesting,
speaking of flights, a lot of people don't know to, I'm still quite shocked when I hear that some people aren't using Google Flights to search for flights. But if you have flexible travel dates and you are looking to go somewhere, on Google Flights, when you open up their calendar, it actually can tell you like what the cheapest dates to fly are. If you know you're just going to take a 7-day trip in April and you choose April 1st to April 7th, it's going to pop open the whole month and it's going to show you, well, if you actually leave on the 2nd and come back like the 10th, you're going to save $500. So I think that's always go to Google Flights first instead of going to the actual airline's website to find the exact dates that you're looking for, because if you have a little bit of wiggle room, you might be able to save a little bit of money.
Yeah, that makes sense. I actually didn't know that they didn't do it at other sites. I've always just leaned towards Google Flights, so that's good to know. But I had told my husband he's not allowed to book flights except for Monday or Tuesday, so maybe I'll let him know that that is a myth.
So I'll expect to hear from you on Wednesdays after the flights are booked.
Yeah, exactly.
It's Barbara, it's Wednesday. We booked our flights.
It's Wednesday. We just booked our flights. So anything else our listeners should know? And then where can they find you if they're interested in booking a trip?
Yeah, so I'm not as active as I should be on Instagram, but I do have an Instagram handle that you can see some of the work that I've done for some of my clients. It's Elizabeth Kaczka Travel. The last name's Kaczka. Otherwise, I do also have a website that is elizabethkaczkatravel.com. And there's a form that says contact me, and you can enter some of your trip details and it would come over to me. We can set up a call and talk about it. But my biggest advice is if you aren't sure about working with a travel agent, maybe just reach out to one and see if it's the right fit for you. It's typically not more expensive, especially if you're just doing hotel stays. Since the hotels do pay us a small commission, there's no extra cost that's passed on to you. So you get a little bit more value out of your trip by getting some extras, and you have the assurance knowing that someone's looking out for you while you're on your trip.
Amazing. And do you have any, because we're going to be coming near the end of the year, do you have any top destinations for 2025?
So I have actually a lot of people that are interested in Southeast Asia, which makes me so excited because Southeast Asia is one of actually the best places you can go to get like value for your money. They do luxury hotels really well at really great prices. And Portugal is still really high on the list for people. Everyone is kind of has their eye on Portugal. And I do a lot of Greece travel, and it looks like 2025 is going to be just as strong as 2024.
Amazing. Well, we will link every your website and your Instagram so everyone can find you. And we so appreciate you coming on to give us all the details about travel agency as a business and travel in general.
Awesome. I'm always happy to talk travel. So thank you for having me, Barbara.
Yeah, absolutely. And for all of our lovely listeners, you can find our most up-to-date information on Instagram at Future Rich Podcast. And if you like the show, please share it with a friend. And you can also rate us on Spotify and Apple. Time for our disclaimer. The opinions voiced in this podcast are for general information only and not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. All performance references are historical and do not guarantee future results. Make sure that you consult with your own legal, tax, and/or financial advisor before making any decisions.
Gear Patrol just called their ISO-certified dive watch the best sub-$500 dive watch. Full stop. And their ceramic watch material almost magical. The Wall Street Journal called them iconoclastic cool, potentially redefining the industry itself. Who are we talking about? It's Movement. And they're leveling up your gift giving with the biggest deals of the holiday season and the sleekest watches around. Shop 30 to 60% off Movement's variety of designs, colorways, and functionalities. From the thinnest automatic dress watch under $500 to waterproof guarantee adventure-ready sport watches to rare ceramics, Movement's got options for everyone on your list. Whether you're gifting for family, friends, or yourself, be the good gifter this year with Movement's huge site-wide holiday sales and enjoy the usual fast and free shipping. Shop 30 to 60% off now at Movement.com. That's MVMT.com.
It's finally here. Stop into Menards for amazing Black Friday deals. A 54-inch giant snow tube is only $9.99 each. Ladies' slippers are just $6.99 a pair. And a men's heated jacket is $49.99. Ah, there's so many great Black Friday deals. I can't list them all. You'll have to hurry to Menards while supplies last to get these and many more Black Friday deals. Sale good Black Friday through December 1st. See Menards.com for details.
Save big.